Hello, everyone, and welcome to Headwise, the weekly videocast and podcast of the National Headache Foundation. I'm Dr. Lindsay Weitzel. I'm the founder of Migraine Nation, and I have a history of chronic and daily migraine that began at the age of 4. I'm excited today because we have a guest who we have never had on Headwise before. I am here today with Dr. Xin Bei. Hello, Dr. Bei. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am good, and thank you for being here. So Dr. Bei is the founder of the Bei Center for Vestibular and Migraine Disorders. Some people in the migraine community know him as the Dizzy Doc because he is so well known for working with people with vestibular disorders, which is good because our topic today is vestibular migraine. I'm so glad that I can say that correctly. So we have not covered vestibular migraine on Headwise, and I'm really excited to do it because I think that there's a lot of confusion about it. So thank you for being here. For anyone watching who's not familiar with who you are, can you please begin by telling us why you're so motivated to work with people with vestibular disorders and to work in this field?
Sure. So my subspecialty is what we call otoneurology, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like a neurologist who specializes in disorders that cause vertigo and dizziness. I was attracted to the whole subspecialty because, you know, there was such a lack of people in the field. So, you know, thinking some weird way that drew me into that. Why is everyone avoiding this field? Right. There are a lot of people in epilepsy, neuromuscular medicine, multiple sclerosis, but, you know, there's barely anyone in this little field. So that, you know, piqued my interest, you know, very early on. And then when I got involved in it, then, you know, I found out that, you know, a lot of people actually suffered from migraine. And this entity called vestibular migraine, you know, was the culprit in a lot of patients with vertigo and dizziness. And that, you know, stirred my interest. And here we are.
Okay, so we are all very grateful that you are in this field, and I would agree. I feel like there's not many people specializing in this area, and it is a complicated area. Can you define for us what vestibular migraine is?
In the easiest possible way, right? Vestibular migraine is a form of migraine that manifests with vertigo and dizziness. Yeah, and that's the easiest way to describe it. You know, it's still a migraine. And as we all know, you know, your whole audience knows, migraine is not just a headache, right? Migraines can manifest in a huge variety of ways, right? And so the vertigo and dizziness is definitely one of them. Now, of course, you know, having vertigo and dizziness and having migraine does not automatically mean that you have a vestibular migraine. You have to meet certain criteria to be diagnosed with vestibular migraine.
Okay. For those of us that aren't sure, can you just tell us what the difference between vertigo and dizziness is?
Excellent question. So vertigo and dizziness, even physicians confuse the two terms, and they, you know, abuse them or, you know, rather misuse them, right? So vertigo, the best way to explain vertigo is, you know, we follow the Barani Society's definition. So vertigo is the false sensation of motion, you know, when there is no motion. So you can feel yourself moving or your environment moving around you, right? Mm-hmm. So most commonly people think about spin. So you feel yourself spinning or you feel your environment spinning around you. But don't forget, the definition encompasses any sensation of motion. So it can be a rocking motion, so going back and forth. It can be a swaying side to side. It can be a bobbing and up and down. You know, people can feel like they're tilting, you know, as if they're being thrown around, as if they're falling through space, as if they're swimming, floating through the air, many different things there, right? As long as it's a sensation of motion. Now, dizziness is a more non-specific term. So it's more of like a disorientation, you know, without a sensation of motion, kind of like having a little lightheadedness, feeling things are, you know, somewhat off, discombobulated, you know, a little disorientation, feeling, you know, as if, you know, space is a little off, things are not right, things don't appear right to you, feel, you know, not right, queasy, feel a little bit, you know, different, you know, some people feel as if that their brain is kind of like jelly, you know, moving around the inside of their head. Mm-hmm. So many different descriptions there. So in a nutshell, that's essentially, you know, vertigo. And that's dizziness.
Okay, that's actually very helpful. I think that that is something that many people don't quite understand. So I'm curious to know, can someone have both what we might consider typical migraine, for lack of a better term, and vestibular migraine?
Absolutely. So you can have, you know, the variety of migraine that, you know, we're all familiar with, the one that comes with the headache. So either chronic migraine, episodic migraine, it can be with aura, it can be without aura, and you can also have vestibular migraine.
Okay. So I find this to be the most interesting question. As someone whose most significant symptom with migraine is pain, does vestibular migraine always come with head pain?
So no. So we go back to the diagnostic criteria that we, you know, kind of alluded to earlier. Headache is one of the criteria that we can use for the diagnosis of vestibular migraine, but it is not a mandatory feature. So we talk about vestibular migraine, you have to have these attacks of vertigo or head motion induced dizziness. Head motion induced dizziness is when you move your head, you feel somewhat dizzy, right? These episodes must be accompanied by one or more migraine features. And the migraine features in the diagnostic criteria can be three. So you have either the headache, the light and noise sensitivity, or the visual aura. So don't forget, it can be either the headache, light sensitivity or noise sensitivity, or the visual aura. So headache is not a must. Now, the part that gets a little complex is that, you know, as we get older, especially, you know, for women and going through menopause, the headaches tend to become less severe and less noticeable. And vestibular migraine tends to also affect the population of women that go approaching menopause and going through menopause. And so in that population, generally, the headaches become less noticeable, less severe. Vestibular symptoms tend to become, you know, the ones that are more significant. In the studies looking at headache and vestibular migraine, the numbers vary a lot. Can go anywhere from 25% all the way up to 80% of patients with vestibular migraine, you know, reporting headaches, right? Even the patients can experience difference in the episode. So some episodes come with headaches for them, some don't, right?
Okay.
Even the same patient can say, oh, you know, I get a headache sometimes, but it's not consistent. You know, every time I get a vertigo attack, the headache may or may not be there, right? And a lot of patients also describe it as not being, you know, that bad, you know, compared to the vertigo.
Okay. So if I were wondering if some of my migraine attacks were coming with vertigo and not just dizziness, or if they were vestibular migraine and not just dizziness, what are some of the cues? Are they the things you mentioned, like the aura or headache or light and noise sensitivity? That would be the answer. Okay.
So if you see that, you know, your attacks of vertigo come with one of these features, then, you know, the diagnosis of vestibular migraine can be made.
Okay, interesting. So is there any requirement in this diagnosis for number of episodes that come with vertigo? Or is it just, hey, like for example, I once had a migraine. I don't get vertigo very often, but I once had a migraine that had such bad vertigo that I fell on my face and cut my face open. But that's not a normal one. Does that mean that was a vestibular migraine? Or do you have to have that as a very common symptom to have vestibular migraine?
So with the criteria, you have to have at least 5 attacks of vertigo or dizziness, and half of them must be accompanied by one of those migraine features that we talked about. That's the minimum, you know, to make the diagnosis. Now, of course, you know, if you, the first time you have an attack of vertigo, or the first three times maybe, right, may not be able to give you that formal diagnosis of vestibular migraine. But, you know, depending on the symptoms, what they come with and all that, you know, we can make an educated guess and say, you know what, you know, this is most likely vestibular migraine. Now, we don't have to wait for you to get the full label to start treating.
Right.
As long as, you know, there is, you know, fair, you know, good amount of evidence to point in that direction, you know, we can talk about starting some form of treatment.
Okay. And is that 5, just to clarify, 5 attacks ever, or 5 in a certain time period for the diagnosis of vestibular migraine?
Ever.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yep. And now let's go ahead, since you brought up treatments, let's skip to that. What are the treatments for vestibular migraine?
So simply put, the same treatments that we use for migraine headache can also be used in vestibular migraine.
Okay.
Right? So you have the big two big groups, right? You have the preventive treatments, you have rescue treatments. preventive treatments, you have the shebang, right? You have the anti-epilepsy medication, the beta blockers, the antidepressant medications, this now the CGRP blockers, then you have neuromodulation like cefalexin, you have the gammaCore device, and the rescues, you have, you know, your the new ones, the CGRP blockers, and then you also have our good old triptans, you have the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications as well. I'm sure your audience knows all of them in great detail.
I find that so interesting because most people think of some of those meds as medications that help with pain. And we're talking about a completely different symptom from pain. And yet we're using the same medication. So I find that so interesting. Migraine is such an interesting disease for that reason.
Absolutely.
Yes. Do people with vestibular migraine have triggers, migraine triggers?
Absolutely. So a lot of people with vestibular migraine have exactly the same triggers as people with migraine headache.
Okay.
Right. So very common, top of the list, of course, stress, big trigger there, you know, not enough sleep or changes in sleep, menstrual cycle, some people ovulation, you know, some people have weather changes with the weather, not eating on time, and, you know, certain food triggers like MSG, chocolate, caffeine, red wine, you know, things like tyramine, you know, high tyramine foods, some people high histamine foods as well. Those are, you know, the same triggers that we see in both populations.
Okay, that's amazing to me. I love this topic. Just out of curiosity, so if someone does not have a headache specialist in their area, I mean, we have so few in our country to talk to, and they're curious because they're relating to some of these symptoms. If they feel they could have vestibular migraine, what type of specialist or doctor or practitioner would you recommend that they seek out?
So most neurologists, you know, can also make the diagnosis of vestibular migraine. A lot of ENT doctors also are making the diagnosis of vestibular migraine because a lot of people with vertigo and dizziness end up seeing their ENT specialist, right? And then they go through the whole workup, you know, looking for any ear-related problems, and they don't find anything. So I think at least, you know, seeing an ENT, if you're getting vertigo, you know, dizziness, first time, you know, seeing like an ENT specialist is very helpful. So they are, you know, vestibular tests that they can run, right, to make sure that there's nothing bad that's going on. They're hearing tests that also should be run, right, to make sure that nothing is going on with the hearing. Of course, you know, Meniere's disease is, you know, much less common than vestibular migraine, but is one of those that we would worry about a little bit because it can lead to significant hearing loss. And so, you know, early treatment is very helpful than Meniere's disease. Mm-hmm. So getting like a hearing test and some of the vestibular tests also could be very useful in helping you determine if you have Meniere's disease or not.
So you kind of just jumped to my next question, because what I was going to ask is, are there any particular diagnoses that stand out to you as things that people with vestibular migraine are most often misdiagnosed with?
Meniere's disease, of course,
yeah.
The big one there. You know, and part of the reason, of course, is, you know, we all get taught about Meniere's disease at school. You know, we never get taught about vestibular migraine. You know, to be fair, also, you know, the diagnostic criteria only really came out in 2012. Although, you know, we've seen a link between vertigo and migraine for a very long time. Whereas, you know, Meniere's disease, you know, there is this structural thing that we can see, and so that, you know, more concrete, easier for people to understand. So Meniere's disease, you know, is top of the list. So key here is looking for asymmetrical hearing loss, right? So if you have low frequency hearing loss on one side, you know, that points more in the direction of Meniere's disease. Now, the complex thing with Meniere's disease is half of the patients with Meniere's disease have migraine. And having Meniere's disease increases your risk of being diagnosed with migraine by 2 times. Having migraine increases your risk of being diagnosed with Meniere's disease by 2 times as well. Right.
Yeah,
so
okay.
There's a lot of overlap there. And here's the complex part. Can you have migraine and Meniere's disease? Absolutely.
Yes.
Can you have Meniere's disease and vestibular migraine? Absolutely. Right.
Wow.
And
okay.
so having a good, you know, diagnosis that can be useful. So, you know, if you do have Meniere's disease, so then getting treatment for that is important, like with the diuretics, being on a low salt diet, you know, all those good stuff. And if the hearing, you know, is really being affected, then, you know, the ENT specialist can talk to you further about what other treatments are available. If it's leaning more in the direction of vestibular migraine, then, of course, you know, we treat it from that side of things. Yep.
Okay.
Another common misdiagnosis is BPPV, or benign paroxysmal positional vertigo. Now, the two entities are very different. They overlap, For sure, right? The people with migraine have a higher risk of getting PPV, right? We don't fully understand why, but we think perhaps the trigeminal inflammation leads to inflammatory changes in your inner ear, and that damages the otolith organ. The little bits of the crystal start to break apart and then, you know, wander into the canals where they cause the PPV. But again, it's one of those things. We learn about BPPV in medical schools, you know, we don't learn about vestibular migraine. And so a patient comes in with vertigo, BPPV it is. But BPPV tends to cause attacks of vertigo that are very short-lived, usually provoked by moving your head in a specific direction, usually when lying down, leaning up, looking downwards. You know, that's the typical presentation. It's a short one. Vestibular migraine tends to cause, you know, attacks of vertigo that, you know, go on regardless of whether you're moving around or not, in most people, right? In some people, it's with any form of head motion, but in vast majority of people, regardless of what you're doing, you experience the vertigo. And it tends to last much longer. So the criteria says between 5 minutes to 72 hours. Most people it lasts for a few hours to about a day, right? So then that's a difference there. That's important to tease out, because if it's BPPV, the treatment would be, you know, the maneuvers where they roll the crystal out of the affected canal, right? So like the Epley maneuver, for example. Whereas if it's you're having a vestibular migraine, then you can do the Epley until the cows come home and doesn't do anything for you.
Right. So I find this very interesting, and I asked it because, and you can see why I wanted to do this, because I do think vestibular issues are so complicated. I think it's hard to understand as someone in the general population. There's just so many different things. And I think it's interesting because you did say that in school, you learn about all these different things like Meniere's disease and these structural things of the ear that cause vestibular issues, but not necessarily vestibular migraine. And that's one of the reasons I asked some of these questions, in case there's people out there that could be misdiagnosed, because it seems like it could be common. And I have seen some of these people with vestibular migraine, and they have it very severe, and they are so debilitated. So I love getting the word out. And I'm just so glad that you said all that, even though it can get so complicated.
Absolutely. Another one that people get diagnosed with, unfortunately, is anxiety, right? So anxiety is very common with anything that makes you dizzy, any vestibular disorders. Extremely common to have anxiety with a condition. But I think, unfortunately, if there's a lack of awareness of, you know, vestibular disorders, then the tendency is to just blame everything on anxiety. Oh, it's all in your head. Anxiety. Yeah. Meditate a little bit, relax. So, you know, that tends to be a lot, you know, the diagnosis and misdiagnosis rather than a lot of my patients. You know, it doesn't mean if you have anxiety, you cannot have a vestibular disorder, and vice versa. You know, the two often coexist.
Right. Okay, well, thank you so much for all those points. Is there anything else you'd like to add today before we go?
I think important takeaway is, you know, it's a very treatable condition. So vestibular migraine, there's many, many, many different treatments out there. You know, we alluded to some earlier, like the new CGRP blockers, you know, that are out on the market. Those, that doesn't mean that those are the best that are out there, but, you know, it shows that the field is really changing. And, you know, there are many, many treatment options. I think the important thing is to remember that it can be treated. Right. So getting on the right treatment plan is always very important, you know, and a lot of people get better quality of life. I think one of the things that I forgot to mention earlier that, you know, drew me towards vestibular migraine is, you know, can really make a change in somebody's life. Right. It's not like a lot of the bad, you know, degenerative conditions that neurologists are familiar with, you know, where you just give them the grim diagnosis and say, yeah, you know, you've got 5 years left to live. Make full use of it. No, this migraine, you know, migraine headaches and vestibular migraine, these are extremely treatable conditions. You know, most people, you know, with the right treatment, they go back to, you know, full lives again.
Right. Well, thank you so much. And that was a very hopeful way to end this podcast. I hope that everyone learned something on this awesome topic. And thank you so much, Dr. Bay, for being with us today. That was awesome. And everyone, join us again next week for the weekly video cast and podcast of the National Headache Foundation. Bye-bye.